Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 28th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Dr. Ed Steele. Dr. Steele came last year to a prayer emphasis for our WMU Day of Prayer, and I've been wanting to have him on the podcast ever since. He's a former missionary with the IMB, served 20 years as a missionary and then 20 years as a professor along with his wife at the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. He lives in Leeds, Alabama, and he still serves the Lord by going on mission trips back to Cuba. And at the end of the podcast, he'll share more about those experiences. Thank you, Ed, for joining us today.
Thank you, Mary. It's such a privilege to be here. So grateful. This morning's reading is from Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 18. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and the Jews together with their leaders to mistreat them and to stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country where they continued to preach the gospel. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way since birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand on your feet!" At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing to you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them.
Thank you so much, Ed, for joining the podcast and for reading for us today. I wanted to have you on the podcast because last November, you came to our church for a special emphasis afternoon on a Sunday in November where we prayed for the persecuted church. I actually didn't get to come. I was with the kids, but my husband was there, and he was just delighted to meet you and to hear a little bit of the testimony of how prayer impacts the nations. And so today we want to talk a little bit about that. But first, I would love to hear a little bit about your testimony. How did you come to faith in Christ?
I was reading out of Colossians chapter 3, and I read, "Since you then have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." And God used that to touch my heart and realize that I had never really accepted him as Lord and Savior. I was baptized. I started actually leading music as a volunteer music director at a little church not far from my home.
So growing up, did you play a lot of instruments?
No, my older brother was actually the instrumentalist. I mainly just sang. My music director at my home church, I was active in the youth choir, but I was very shy. And John took me aside and began to teach in eighth grade, mind you, voice lessons privately. And God used that tremendously because he helped me get over my shyness.
Tell me about some milestones of your faith. How has the Lord journeyed with you throughout life?
Well, the first would be my wife and I, Kathy, actually met each other in the freshman enrollment lines at Oklahoma Baptist University. And we both had grown up with ties to missionaries. My wife was very active in GAs and had worked at summer camps at the Nani Chaha, which is the GA camp, acting camp for Oklahoma. My home pastor had been a missionary. And so we had been around missions and not necessarily running away from it, but we were reading in Isaiah 6, and we're all familiar with that passage, where God reveals himself and Isaiah sees himself, confesses his sin, and then verse 8 begins, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And looking at that, God didn't call Isaiah by name. God says, it's an open-ended question, who will go with us? And Isaiah volunteers. And that really was the story of our, how God, we just made ourselves available to God. And God, if you can use us, use us. And in his grace and mercy, we made ourselves available to the International Mission Board, began our contacts, and went to seminary after graduation. I finished my master's degree, and we were appointed in 1978. After a year of language study, we went into, we entered Nicaragua in 1980, 6 months after the revolution, with a 20-month-old little girl and a 2-month little baby boy. Well, after about 2.5 years there, because of the political situation, we were not able to return, and God opened up the door to Panama. And for the next 10 years, we trained worship leaders and ministered there. Our kids literally grew up there. And then God led us to the Baptist Spanish Publishing House, where for 6 years, I was a music editor and helped worked on the recordings and music for serve our churches in Latin America. All in all, we were with the board for 20 years, and then God led us to finish doctoral work at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, where we both became professors, Kathy in counseling and I in music, and we recently retired in 2022 after 20-plus years there. In 2002, we began, God opened up the door for us to go to Cuba, and we began going there sometimes 2 to 3 times a year to teach and minister, Kathy in counseling and I in music. We've made over 30 trips over the years. We have, I guess, semi-retired to Leeds, Alabama, where our daughter and family are there, and we get to be close to grandkids, really, for the first time in her whole life.
You told me a little bit about what you did, especially in Panama, but what was your missions experience like?
As a music missionary, I taught in the seminary, but then I did associational music classes, teaching the guitar, teaching how to read music and lead in worship, play on worship. And then in Cuba, it was much the same, except they were, I would say, probably a little more advanced because the number of Cubans that were already trained musicians. So we helped in developing a Cuban hymnal. We helped in training professors for their seminary for a worship degree. My wife helped train professors for a counseling degree. And we actually did it in both the major seminaries there. There's a seminary in Havana and another one in Santiago on the Far East.
Your time in Cuba has been interesting to me. We've talked a little bit before the podcast, and I know last year when we had the emphasis on the persecuted church, you came and talked about Cuba and how we could pray alongside the missionaries, the seminaries, and the people in Cuba. Tell us a little more about that.
Cuba is a fascinating place. God has done some phenomenal work over the years. From the 90s, from just a few hundred churches till when we were there in 2019, when you count churches and house churches, there were well over 8,000. Missiologists would say that it's one of the few places in the Western Hemisphere where really true revival is going on. But because of COVID and so many other factors, there is a horrible lack of food and medicines, and it has been very, very difficult for people that live there. And so one of the things that we would ask that you would just pray that God would provide for them their basic needs of food and the basic needs for medicine. There's also been a large exodus of Cubans literally going all over the world, anywhere they could leave because of these difficulties. And so it has left a lot of our churches without leadership, pastors, worship teams, and deacons. One of the great needs is to raise up more leaders for our churches there. And you might think, well, what about all this church growth? Well, thousands are still coming to Christ. And so we are trying to, we went last year, we're going again this year to help train leadership and to help meet that need.
Tell me some stories of how God is moving in Cuba and how you are seeing prayer at work.
One of the things that God has done is really work in our life. And although that is minuscule when you compare what God is doing across the country. When we first went, the first few years, I'd hear these stories about what God was doing. We were just, of course, all excited. And then one of the musicians told me this story. They have really music academies to help train worship leaders for the house churches. And there's not several of the churches, not just one or two, several of the churches have these music academies where they take people, they teach them how to play an instrument, how to plan and lead worship, and how to work with a new church plant or with a house church. And so in one of these schools, one day a man came up to them, young man, said, I want to study music. And of course, he was not a Christian. And so the leadership met together and they prayed and they said, well, okay, you can, but you're going to have to go to all our Bible studies. You're going to have to go to all our meetings. And if we go somewhere to share, you're going to need to go with us. And he said, sure, no problem. And for several months, he joined them and was learning to play an instrument, and they were all happy. And then one night, one afternoon, he came up to them and said, I can't go with y'all tonight. In fact, I have to drop out. And they said, oh, no, please don't. He says, well, no, I have to. You see, I'm a member of a gang, and we have a duel to the death tonight with another gang. And, they were just taken back, and said, oh, please don't go. And so they pleaded with the guy, says, no, you don't understand. I'm head of the gang. And they began to pray. He left, and they began to pray, and they began to pray. And the guy left with his gang, and they met at the appointed place. They stayed there, and they stayed there, and the other group never showed. The following day, this fellow that was the head of the gang sought out the leader of the other gang and said, why didn't you stand us up? Why didn't you show up last night? And he said, oh, no, we came. We saw you. But when we tried to go that way, there was something like glass that kept us. And after a while, we just gave up. Well, the fellow knew, I mean, he'd been through these Bible studies, and he knew this had to be the hand of God. And he came back to them. He was converted. And through his conversion, several of the gang members were converted. And then after that, he and the ones that had been converted started going to the jail and ministering to some of these other gang members that were in the jail. And God used something that we never would have even imagined through the power of the prayer of his people and to see God move in a phenomenal way. And we think, oh, that is it just almost sounds like a book of Acts. But this is the power when we plead for God to move. He moves through the hands of prayer of his people. So when we ask people to pray for basic needs, to pray for food and medicine, to pray for people to come to Christ, to pray for leadership to come and fill these needs so others can be discipled, we pray expecting and believing that God will move.
At Mount Brook Baptist, we want our people to go on mission because not only are they hopefully going alongside the Lord to serve, they themselves are being changed from the inside out. You hinted at that earlier, but I want to hear a little bit more about how your experiences in Cuba have formed you.
Well, when we first went and began to go, it's a very humbling experience just to see the hunger and to see how God's moving and working. And in these 30 trips, one of the things that was astounding, the Christians didn't complain. And we're, I had a student that walked and hitchhiked for 30 hours to come to a class. 30 hours. And I could barely get the ones in my 8 o'clock theory class at the seminary to show up. And this, the hunger to study, the hunger to grow, just overwhelms your heart. And every time we would go, yeah, I'm the prof. I had the doctorate in music, and I had this, I had that. So what? Their relationship with Jesus was so real. You could touch it. It was moving. And I wanted not only that for myself, I wanted that for my students back at the seminary. And over again, our closest friends were those folks walking through some horrible times in faith and in prayer. When God literally is all you have, you find out God is all you need. It is a moving, moving experience to go back and forth. Now, granted, we're exhausted when we come back. We're exhausted physically, and we're exhausted emotionally, but we're overfull spiritually, and we're just grateful for that privilege of being able to participate.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ed, for joining us and for reminding us of the hope we have in Jesus, helping us to remember to be prayerful for our brothers and sisters in Cuba. And also, as we pray tomorrow on the podcast for Cuba, I think we'll have more informed hearts. But as we end this time together, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, we're so grateful for this privilege of hearing your word. We're grateful for the privilege of fellowship with believers. And Father, we're grateful for the opportunity and privilege of prayer. Lord, we just pray that you would move, that you would provide food, provide medicine, provide leadership. God, that you would heal broken hearts and separated families and heal through the trauma of so much that's going on, especially in Cuba and other places where our Christians and believers are really going through times that we cannot imagine. Father, we thank you that you are Lord of Lords, that you are God, sovereign of the universe. And Father, we claim your power and your love and your mercy, your grace for these situations. We thank you that we can trust you to move and work, because we ask it all in Jesus' name.